That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more. When it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this, it's springtime snow showers here at the Radio Ranch, but this last Saturday in April, April 29th, 2017, and we'll say good morning to everybody. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim. Thanks for joining us from Nebraska.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, John.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. It is a snowy, wet, rainy, depending on where you're at, Saturday morning, it seems like. But that's good, because out here in the West, and I know there in Nebraska, you need the rain. We certainly need it down in Colorado. And that's been our prayer lately, that God send the good weather in its season. There's a time for all things, and we're not at the beach today, so let it rain. It's the good season, the good weather in its good season. And our Heavenly Father certainly blesses us in sending what we need. So, well, John, if you'll open us up in prayer, we can open the phone lines up in a little bit, but we have a few things to cover. But if you'd open us in prayer, that'd be great, sir.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we ask that you guide and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding and a special anointing, Lord, that we would speak about the things that you want spoken of, Lord, that benefit your people, the remnant. Lord, remove the scales from your people's eyes and unstop their ears and bring them to repentance, Lord, and bring them to proper baptism. Father, we see that your prophecies are being fulfilled. Lord, that there's rumors of wars, and nation is turning against nation. And Father, we know that there's the enemies of God are, they know that their time is limited, that we're in the last days. And Lord, we just ask that those things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light, shouted from rooftops, just as your word says. Father, that those that seek to harm your people would fall in the pits that they dig and be ensnared by the traps that they lay. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves, our families, and all that you blessed us with. We ask that you would just continue to draw us closer to you, Lord, that we would make the time that's necessary to be in the Word. And Lord, we ask that, just as your Word says in the last days, that knowledge would increase. We see that that's happening, Lord. So we just pray for repentance and a revival in the land. We pray for our government, Lord, that it would rest upon your shoulders. Father, that we could claim this country, the true JERUSALEM, back to the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for this family reunion that's coming up quickly. Seems like time's sped up even more than before, in accordance with your word in Matthew 24:21. Lord, we ask even now that you would send your guardian angels ahead of time, that you would just cleanse that facility of anything that may not be of your spirit, Lord. Send your guardian and your warring angels. Your word says in Hebrews 1:14 that you've given us command over legions of angels, myriads and myriads of angels. So, Father, we use that authority that you've given us and ask that you would send those myriads of angels, Father, to that facility, and that it would just cleanse it of any impurities. Father, that your Holy Spirit would be present there, and that you put your guardian and warring angels at the gates and not allow any to enter that do not belong to you, that do not seek to do your will, that do not love you and fear you. Father, I pray for those that are to bring messages, for special anointing to be upon them. Give them the words that you want spoken, Lord. Prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls, even now, Lord, to be sanctified. That's the theme, Lord. Our goal is complete obedience, because your word says when our obedience is complete, you'll punish the disobedience of those that hate you and hate your people. So, Father, we know that this is a step in that complete obedience, sanctification. And we ask, Lord, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We all pray together, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Grant to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, as John said, we've got the Branson reunion coming up. Thought we'd talk about that a little bit this morning. We're getting down to a time crunch. We're wanting you to let us know if you want to go. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, coming up even before that on Tuesday is a very important day. No, it's not Christmas. We talk about, are you moving, you know, you're waiting on Christmas. No, it's not Christmas. It's not even Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. No, it's a little bit more relevant, a little bit more important than that. I know, as politically incorrect as that sounds, it truly is. And what it is Tuesday is May 2nd, and it is the Passover makeup day. The Passover seems to have been glossed over so much in the teachings. It doesn't matter to you if you don't realize that it has to do with you and your people. You know, Kwanzaa, I couldn't tell you much about Kwanzaa because it doesn't affect me. It doesn't relate to me. It's not something that that our ancestors observed. And so it doesn't mean anything to me. Well, unfortunately, because the people just don't know, so many people look at Passover that way. And they just don't realize that it does relate to them. It does relate to the remnant. If we are going to be a Bible believing people, then we need to believe the Bible. And so anyway, it is the Passover makeup day. That event, that observance is so important that if you miss the first one, God puts in his word that you can observe it 30 days later. How about that? And as far as I know, that's the only real instance of an event or remembrance that you can do that with. You can read about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And we encourage you to do so. That's not a real big chapter, but look at it. And Numbers 9:11 is another place to read about it. But we encourage you to observe the Passover. It's not a Sabbath day. No, it's a regular work day. But in the evening, in the twilight, you are to observe. Have your communion ready. Read the Passover story. And remember. So we encourage you to do that. We will have our original Passover message available at the website so that you can click on it and watch it. And we'll have a link right on the front page at scriptures4america.org. So if you want to watch that and get a little better explanation of it, you can also read about the Passover and calculating the Passover in the book Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy. And you can read that book at the website. It's right on the home page. You just click the free resources and it'll take you right there to it. So it is just that important. So we our job is to let you, the remnant, know, and we're doing that in every way we can. On the radio, the newsletters, John's mentioned it from the pulpit, and so we've done our job. We've done our job in letting you know when this is, and that we are to observe it. So we encourage you to do so. That's Tuesday, May 2nd. And then Branson, of course. Yeah. Branson, go ahead, John.
Actually, Tim, I was
or
thinking
Tim,
about,
I'm sorry.
I talked to several different people on Passover, you know, and really a lot of there seems to be some confusion out there about, like you said, it's an easy thing. I mean, it's not complex. You don't have to take the day off. There's not a lot of fanfare with it, as far as you don't have to, you know, but it's very important. But it's one of those small, quiet, personal times that's it's between you and God. It's kind of like a prayer closet moment, only it's a family and God moment that puts you into the correct alignment with him, that's between you and him.
You can read the story in Exodus 12, but the thing you do want to do is partake of communion.
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's what I was kind of pushing at, is it's not a huge fanfare thing, but it is in the face of other people, but it certainly is in your spiritual walk, in your armor up, in your protective walk with God. It's an important thing.
Yes, so, it is. And we don't advocate going and physically killing a lamb today. No, that was the Old Testament way. And that was a foreshadowing of Christ. We know today that Christ is our Passover. And we have to have, just as in the old days in Egypt, they did have to have that unblemished lamb sacrificed, and then the blood had to be applied. And folks, that's just how it is today. We have Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the unblemished lamb that died for our sins and our sicknesses. But we need to have the blood applied. He's already died. He's already paid the price. That's done. That's done. Nothing changes that. But you still have to have the blood applied, just as they did in the old, in the days of Egypt. And so we hope that
you have. Well, Door Day, too, if you want to be one of David's mighty men and keep the 91st days as well, those days that are biblically proven that David and his mighty men kept.
Yes.
And without this Door Day, you can't enter into that promise. That's the significance of this thing.
Yes.
If you're really taking your walk seriously and you want to have the same kind of power and authority that David and his mighty men had, then
right.
This is the what has to be kept. And the Lord revealed that to us, I don't know how many years ago now, probably.
Yeah, it's not man's way, right? It's not man's way. It's not the wisdom of the world, but it's the knowledge of God, and it's the wisdom of God. And, Pastor took several messages spread over time to explain this and to point the intricate details out, how Christ is the door, and Christ is our Passover. So guess what? Christ is our Passover, and he is the door that we enter in. And don't have time this morning to go into all those intricate details, but again, Solar Sanity book is at the website if you want to read it, and the CDs on that teaching are as well. So really can't emphasize it enough, but here we are. And so you have a choice if you want to observe it or not. Well, coming shortly up in just another month. Can you believe it, John? May is almost here, and then that's the final prep month for Branson. We will be in Branson, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise too bad, June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And that's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll start Friday afternoon and finish up Sunday about noon. That's normally how we do it. And so we've been telling you about it, asking you to pray about it. We have a registration out in our Volume 3 newsletter. We have registration available right on the website. You can sign up right there online. But you do have to register. You do have to register. Let us know. We're providing the food. We're bringing some good ranch beef for the food. And we urgently need to know how much to cook. And so if you're wanting to attend Branson, certainly we've asked you to pray about it. Ask for the Lord's leading, as we should be doing in everything, and then let us know. You can register, you can call our office number, not the call-in number this morning, but our office number is 307-742-7582. Give us a call next week, but next week is the week. We need to know by the end of next week just what we have, because we've got to line up the food, we've got to line up the rooms with the hotel. This isn't something that if on June 1st you decide to come and you call here to the office and say, I finally think I might want to go to Branson. Where are you going to be? You're just going to get the recording. Okay? We got next week to set it up. And so these things take time. They take planning. And so they don't just, it's not just spur of the moment. So we've been going there for what?
And it's a significant expense.
It is.
Industry, so
what are we going there? 15 years, I think.
What the Lord gives us to work with.
So. That's right. And so we don't charge. We don't charge. There's not $100 registration fee. There's not a $50 registration fee. It's open to like-minded Christians. We just need to. You just need to let us know you're coming. You need to register, okay? And let us know. So the theme this year is sanctification. Certainly that is a big word, and it like most things that are proper and good and holy unto the Lord, the false churches, they take things and they pervert them. But sanctification, basically living holy, turning away from the worldly things and turning toward godly things. And not just in our thoughts, but in our life. In our life. We are told throughout the Bible to be ye separate. Well, in today's society, you can't be separate physically. You can't. That's just all there is to it. in the world we live in the world that everybody lives in, whether you're like you are, Tim, over in a small town in Nebraska, or a big town in Colorado, or Central Florida, or Northern California, it doesn't matter. We can't be separate physically, but we can be separate in our lifestyle. We can be separate in our thoughts. We can be separate in our actions. We can be separate in our deeds. And that's part of what sanctification is making a choice to live a godly life. And when you do that, you turn away from evil, and you turn to the Lord.
Holy, too.
Yes. Yes. Not just on Sundays. Oh, I'm not going to cuss today. It's Sunday, you know. That's not the way it works.
Yeah. It's interesting that we're talking about that, because I know yesterday I stopped in at in town there, and everything happens, it seems like, in Nebraska that happens all over the country. We're just about 4 years behind the times. So, you know, we were in town there, and we stopped in at, had to grab something there at one of the big stores in town, which isn't a very big store. But so we stopped in, and I was waiting in the car and looking around and watching people come and go, and I was like, Lord, you know, the way that you could be separate the most today would be just to be what I would call a normal Christian, God-fearing person. I mean, because that's the things you see going in and out of those places just leaves you absolutely astounded. And I think that we have all these people out there who want to be unique. And, you know, the truth of the matter is one more tattoo or one more piece of face jewelry or one more whatever else that they...
Yeah, one more color in their hair, you know.
Yeah, there you go. It doesn't make you stand out. It doesn't make you, but you can sure pick out. I was watching people walk up through the parking lot, and you can tell those. They you can see them halfway across the lot. There's one, you know. So I was like, well, Lord, you know, it's the goats and the sheep, and you can definitely see it. So that's what I've been, that's kind of been my words lately, as far as with people, that if you want to be unique, if you want to be different, fear God, do what's right, you know, and you'll be unique. You know, you'll have your own uniqueness that you can't get from all those other worldly elements.
Right.
So
I remember Dad used to tell the stories of dressing up and take a staff and a hat, and he'd go down to Laramie, you know. And for years, it was pretty normal, pretty small town, pretty average God-fearing people, ranchers and such. But you put a university in the mix, and it changes the scene. But I know it physically pained him to go, especially down to Fort Collins and to the mall and to walk around and to see the youth and what has happened to the youth. And I got to admit, you know, back then I probably, you know, took it with a grain of salt. But as you really start to take your walk seriously, you know, as you're in the Word and as you got you pray, Lord, give me eyes to see, you know, remove the scales from my eyes, unstop my ears, and like we've been praying for years, bring those that can to repentance. And you start to see these things, and they hurt. They pain you to see our youth is so lost. And you know, I'm fortunate. I have an opportunity to work with some young men, and they're good young men, and I try to take them out to lunch every now and then, and just to let them know that I appreciate their hard work, and makes me look good too. But this last time, and I said, as I was praying, and I tell them, I say, I'll buy you lunch, but I'm praying over the food, and if you got a problem with that, well, then don't show up.
Don't come.
But, yeah, but basically I just said, Lord, let me be a good influence in their lives, physically,
mentally and spiritually. And a lot of them came up to me afterwards, and they said, I really appreciate that prayer, you know. Just want you to know that we do see a difference in you. And
praise the Lord.
You know, as the world, you know, being around all your friends and the way that the world is, especially in the university, it's difficult for them to pass those tests and stuff. And so, yeah, it was probably the greatest compliment you could get, you know.
Yes.
Amen. Well, and as you get older, we see where a lot of those roads lead. And when we were younger, I speak for myself. There was a lot of that. You went, oh, it's not that big a deal. You know, it's just something that I want to do, or I want to, you know, so I want to try or whatever. And as you get older, you know where that road leads. You've seen, you're at the other end of helping people with, you know, broken lives and wrecked marriages and a lot of the other things that these flip decisions made as far as, and it does physically pain me. I mean, it's the same way. It's like, yeah, those things like that never end well, you know. So, absolutely, you are, I couldn't agree more as far as the things that we see from that. And it's like, well, I can't stop you from making the decision, but I can show you where this road leads, you know, thank God. And so here's your sign, so to speak, or your road sign, you know. But, and that's a service to God, too. And it's, I don't think it's an unimportant one at all. I mean, that ability to point the way and to cry out and to... and I've said it before, I'll say it again, but that's one of those things. There's a lot of times when you're talking about things in this messed up world that we're living in right now, we see these things going around, and you point something out and you get that, well, you know, whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. What can you do to change it? I'm like, I'm doing what I can to change it.
That's right.
And my God reigns, and he will do, you know, it's by his way. The question is what will you do for your God? He'll change the world. What will you do for him? You know, so, and I think we, and that's one of the things you can do, the outcry, crying out to God and saying, God, this is wrong. And I think that that's a service to God, that we should be willing to, not only willing to, but consumed to do, you know. I mean,
yes.
It should be.
And being that positive influence, like John said, being that positive influence in the workforce, if when you're around people, especially younger men, because they have no, you know, you look at it now, it's been 40 plus years that prayer's been taken out of school. And that's the public schools. And then that has just, along with the other headlong slide into liberalism and everything that's anti-Christian in this land, our children are lost. That's what I was thinking, Tim, when you said, you know, you see these with one more tattoo or one more ear piercing, you know, one more hair color, one more... something, and it's because our children are lost, and they've been having children, and so you're talking a couple of generations that are completely lost, that don't know, they don't know God, and his word is true. Just as we rejoice that Christ overcame the grave, he overcame death, he came out of the tomb, the tomb is empty, right? The stone was rolled away. We rejoice in that. We rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We should also rejoice when he says, when you forget my law, I will forget your children. And because we see that happening. We see that happening. And I know you men have told others, and we all have, that his word is true. And if we're gonna praise him for the blessings, well, we need to praise him for all of his truth. And that's what we see in this land. We see that greatest generation that fought World War II and the succeeding ones since then, that the majority of them have forgotten God, and they've forgotten His law. They've been asleep. The enemy's crept in and sowed the seeds like the tares, and the children, and now it's not just the children, it's the people, because those children have grown up and are having children, and they don't know God to teach God to their children.
Well, most of the fault lies on the parents.
Yes,
you know?
that's
there's no doubt.
Of course, that's where it comes.
We fell asleep as the watchmen. We fell asleep as the watchmen over the house of Israel, but the parents, you know, the Bible's right. Clear, raise up a child in the way he shall go, and when he becomes older, he will not depart far from it. And,
amen.
And
amen.
That's the truth.
Amen.
As many years as we can get in them, in truth, in righteousness, in Christianity, in their Bible, those are the years that build the foundation that will stand against the forces of hell that
amen.
Come against them when they go away to school. When they hang out with their friends. And the other thing is, when your children are grown up, evil companions corrupt good morals. You think God wrote that for His own good? He wrote it for our good.
Yes.
And I don't know how many times I've had to tell people, I said, you know, God wrote in the Bibles, evil companions corrupt good morals. You have to be careful who you allow your children to hang around with.
Yes.
And to spend time with.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, and the other thing is, and you're exactly right, John, and I think the other thing is that that's part of that stand, and even when we have done that, you've got to claim that promise that if they're raised in the admonition of the Lord, that they'll return and that they'll follow, because there are times when they are of age, and as they get older, that you're just like, they didn't learn that here, Lord. You know, I
mean, right.
And I don't think it's funny at all. Don't misunderstand me. That's more but it's like the Lord will claim the promise. If you've done what you should be doing and everything, then it's placed in God's hands there at a point.
Yes.
And you can certainly stand. You can certainly explain, point, poke, prod, and everything else. That's God's promise to you, that if you've done that, if you've done your job, He'll do His.
Right.
And
there's those that only come to steal, kill, and destroy. And they're of their father, the devil, and you can poo-poo it or whatever you want, but bottom line is there's spiritual warfare. Our pastor
that's
taught
right.
us about that many years ago. A lot of us didn't take it seriously. And there's probably some children that have fallen away because it wasn't taken seriously. But in this last newsletter, there's two prayers in there that were shared with me. They're powerful prayers. And I've made it a point to pray those prayers. And even if you don't do anything else, but every morning say, I forbid the enemy from operating in my life today. I forbid the enemy from operating in my wife and name her name.
Yes.
Life today. And I forbid the enemy. And go through each one of your children. Forbid the enemy every day. Forbid the enemy from operating in your children's lives, and you'll be surprised at the difference. And when we follow His teachings about forgiveness, when we're not trying to repay evil with evil, and we turn them over to God, and God can deal with them. He can do one of three things. He can bring them to repentance and salvation. He can bring them to destruction, and sometimes He can kill the body to save the soul. But those are the things that we have to do as Christians. You know, God's given us this handbook called the Bible, and all we have to do is be willing to put the time into it to discern the teachings that He's shown us, not just the ones we like, not just the ones that fit
Amen.
Our lifestyle,
Amen.
But all of them.
And that's what's missing. When you see that when that is applied, it's not that everything is just on the high road and rosy and sunshiny and everything's perfect all the time. No, but there's a peace, there's a comfort, there's that blessed assurance that comes. But when it's not, taught, when it's not applied, when the time isn't put into it, when you look out into the public, like you were talking about earlier, Tim, that's the result. we are living the result in the mixed multitude that we live in the you know, this in the killings, the shootings. I don't know if you saw the, you know, we every now and then we get to, we've got a Jimmy John's in town, and if we're out on fire, sometimes they'll bring sandwiches out, or the boys like to go by there sometime to get a Jimmy John's sandwich. And there was a video that went around the last couple days. A black guy walks into Jimmy John's in St. Louis, orders a sandwich, and pulls a gun and sticks it right in the cashier's, a young white kid, right in his face. And the kid must have had some angels about him, because he just calm, cool, and collected, gathered the cash up, handed it over, and then went to give him the whole drawer. It just that is not the way things are supposed to be. It is not. It reflects the lawlessness. We talk about how lawless things are in our land, and it's because the people have turned from the law of God, for sure. But you know, that's changing. It's breaking. I think I mentioned to you, John, at Wednesday night prayer meeting, the little the men's prayer meeting that I go to, little men's prayer breakfast in town with just men in town. They go to different churches in town. But they were talking about generational curses, how they were raised up, and how they realize now as Christians that they weren't raised in godly homes, that maybe their parents or grandparents weren't godly, and how they're breaking that curse. And that's their terminology that they use. They said, you know, I'm breaking the curse. I'm not gonna treat my children and grandchildren the way I was treated. And I'm teaching them of the Lord. I'm telling them that I love them. I'm telling them that God loves them. I'm teaching them right from wrong, and biblical by biblical standards. And it was encouraging to me. Here's a group of men that are doing that, that are breaking those, that are taking their Christian walk seriously, and seeing that there's a generational curse, and that's just a term we put on it, but that they're breaking it. And it's not that, well, I'm going to make more money so I can give my kids more money than I had. It's not that. It's leaving an inheritance to their children's children. And that inheritance, what greater inheritance can there be than to teach your children and your grandchildren about Jesus and about the Lamb's Book of Life? And that the Word of God the things that the Word of God teaches, that what we are to do, what we aren't to do, and see them walk in His ways. And you're right, Tim. It's we do our best as parents to raise up our children, and we hold to that admonition: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not turn from it. It's just there's a gap. There seems to be a gap between the train up the child time and the when they are older time. And yeah. You know, sometimes
it's that choice time, you know, choose you this day and we will serve. And there's that day of choosing.
It is. And sometimes it's that week or month or years of choosing that happens. You know that the story of the prodigal son, I have to think that son was raised properly. The man had two sons, and I think he raised them both properly. They were somewhat wealthy, I think, but I think they were raised properly. And when the one son made the choice and said, "Dad, give me what's coming, I'm out of here. I'm headed to the big city," the father did that. And to me, that shows that time between, hey, I raised you right, and when you're older, you're not going to turn away from it. But in that meantime, he had to grow. He had to grow. He had to get out there and experience life. He had to get out there and see what life is like apart from God, as he's down there wallowing in the pig slop. But the father, the father knew. The father prayed. The father knew the son would return, and he looked every day for him coming down the road. Every day he was looking. He was faithing. He was believing. He knew. He knew God heard his prayers. He knew that son would return. And when he did, you know, he wasn't standing there with his hands on his hips saying, "I told you so." I told you, have you got enough of that pig slop in you now? Are you ready to come back? No, it was none of that. What does it say? He ran to him with open arms, lovingly welcoming him back. Throw a party. My son that was gone has returned. And, of course, that's symbolic of each and every one of us returning to God. That's how God looks at it. You know, he's standing there waiting for us to return to him. The price has been paid. The party's ready.
I think of Pastor Peter's example, and, you know, there was so many things over the years, just that song, Choices, you know, mm-hmm. if you really listen to the words, and you look at the pictures, and you see the consequences of these choices, and the importance of making that choice when you become, you know, at the age of accountability, to repent, which is die to your old life and be born again of the water and the Spirit, you know, be clothed with Christ, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, have your name entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, one of the most important contract in your life is with God there, but
amen.
It's important to understand, too, though, that there's consequences if you don't take that contract seriously,
yes.
if you enter into it with false intentions. And for many years, I think there was those that just, oh, I'm 20, I'm going to get baptized. Well, unless you repented, you basically took a bath.
Yeah.
So if you've been baptized and you didn't repent, that which is die to your old life and take the contract that you made with the Lord seriously, then you probably need to repent and make sure that you do. But the other example I was thinking of was Pastor Peters was always good with illustrations, and he'd draw that illustration of a Christian child and all the layers of protection that they used to have on them. They had teachers that were Christians that prayed for them. They had Sunday school teachers that would pray for them, grandparents and parents and neighbors and all of these different
yes.
layers of protection. And as those fiery darts were fired in by the evil one that the Bible talks about, there was so many layers of protection that those darts wouldn't penetrate those shields and hit that child. But over the years, through immorality and through sin and through corruption and all of these things that have taken place, the things of the world, all of those layers, how many layers are left? Some children don't have any layers.
That's right.
That's true.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. And again, like you said earlier, John, it comes back to the parents. That's where the responsibility lies. But, you know, yesterday's gone. Paul writes in the New Testament, you know, forgetting about what lies behind us and moving forward and moving on. And that's one of the reasons that we continue here at Scriptures for America, putting the gospel out, putting the truths that Pastor Peter's taught for 33 plus years. They continue to go out on the broadcast. We continue to revisit those timeless pulpit truths on Sunday mornings, because there are people out there that are changing. They are hearing the truth. The truth resonates with them. They are turned away from these false Judeo-Christian churches. They're starting to see through that. Not everybody, but the remnant is. One here, two there. And that's how God works. And that truth is going out.
That,
and the people are changing. They're saying, Wait a minute. This isn't right. This isn't pleasing to God. I'm going to change. And we get calls here at the office of that. I talked to a brother the other day, and he said, some 20-something year old clerk at a gas station had a shortwave radio, and the brother goes in to pay for his gas, and the guy there says, "Hey, you ever heard of this? You ever heard of this on the radio?" And that's been 12, 15 years ago that happened. And it changed the man's life. He said, wait a minute, when he heard Pastor preaching on the shortwave, wait a minute, that makes sense. And so that's how God uses his people. That's how God uses the remnant. That's how God uses this ministry, to put the truth out. You put the truth out.
Amen.
Some people catch right on to it. Some people just overnight, oh yeah, that makes sense. Some people, it takes a little more watering. It takes a little more praying to before that seed that good seed takes hold and bears fruit. Everybody's different. Every situation is different. But we continue to put that seed out, continue to put that truth out for the remnant to hear it.
Most people don't understand that no division doesn't mean that we lower our standards to meet theirs. It means that we raise theirs, period.
Right.
There's far too much acceptance and tolerance in the church under the guise of grace these days.
Yes.
I think that's where it ties back into 1 Corinthians 11:19, what Paul was talking about, that there must be division so someone who is shown approved may be recognized among you. Unity is a bad thing if it requires compromise.
Yes, when it requires moving away from the word.
That's awesome.
You're absolutely right. In 1 Corinthians 6, Jesus is telling, or Paul is writing here, how to live. So you're Christians, now what do you do? Well, this is what you do. And he goes on in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And then he goes through and he lists sins. And what he's talking about here, that the unrighteous, those are, and the unrighteous, I think, can be described as those that are practicing sin. Those that are practicing sin, it is unrighteousness. There's a difference. Righteousness, a righteous life, doing our best to live a righteous life, that ties in with that sanctification. Come to Branson. You'll learn more about that. You'll hear more about that. But the unrighteous do not inherit the kingdom. And then he lists these things, liars and fornicators and effeminate and adulterers and homosexuals. And they don't make it into the kingdom. Whatever you think of the kingdom being, heaven or the kingdom or eternity with Christ. Those that practice those things continually, that makes them unrighteous, they don't make it in. But verse 11 says, and that's what reminded me, John, when you said verse 11, such were some of you. We're all guilty of those things, part of it. It says, but you were washed. See, you were washed. You changed. And it's not that we change on our own. We change through the power of God, through the power of Christ, through sharing, through repenting, recognizing that practicing these things is wrong, it's unrighteous, it's a sin. There's right and wrong, and see, that divides right there. When you have a whole society that admonishes and okays sin, do whatever you want with whatever you want. That's wrong, that's unrighteousness. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you changed. You recognized that you were filthy. And that's what we did. We recognized that we were filthy and that we needed to be cleansed. We needed to change. And there's that repentance that we read about in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized. It doesn't say just be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Belief certainly comes before that. You have to believe. But believe on the name of Jesus Christ and be saved, as it says in Romans, that is not the only scripture in this Bible. Repent and be baptized, and you shall, for the forgiveness of your sins, to cleanse yourself of that unrighteousness. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that, certainly that work, but it's that choice. It's that choice to change, to recognize good and evil, right and wrong, proper and improper, sin and not sin, pleasing to God and displeasing to God, to recognize those differences and make the right choice.
Absolutely. Well, we've talked about around our home over the years, Hebrews 12:6 says that the Lord chastens and scourges every son whom he receives.
Yes.
And so when you see someone out there who's living in a worldly fashion, and there's different categories. We see some who live out there and seem to just, I guess, flourish is the right word. I don't really. They basically live in sin, and it just doesn't seem to affect them. Then you see others who live basically the same way, and it just seems that they're just everything flogs. You know, I mean, they financial issues, dependency issues. You see all these things coming against them, and that's the Lord. I believe the Lord he's trying to move them toward the narrow gate. You know,
yes.
We're the sheep of his pasture, and the gate is narrow, and it's just like trying to move a herd of cattle through a gate or whatever. If they're not in the right way, well, you've got to chase them.
Yeah.
You know, or move them toward that gate. And we've talked about that God of sin rewarding those people, because there's times throughout the years that we've seen people be it whatever, you know, they're drunks or any number of things. That's just an easy one that comes to mind, but you push a pencil on it, and it's like there is no way they can work for, you know, their 40 hours a week and do that. I mean, how does that, that's their blessing from that God, and they're not being chastened and scourged. But if the Lord is working with you, if God wants to receive you and you're being called, you're going to get that, and it's probably going to get worse.
It
after
does
you
at
turn
times.
That way,
it
because
does at times.
It's going to, it's like Fuller soap. He's going to purge those things out of your life as he refines you. So, you know, but if you continue to move in the right direction and get on the path and to the gate, that's what God wants, and it's all about that
you know,
eternal life.
You bring up those addictions and things like that, and I think the sad thing is most people don't realize that a lot of those addictions are generational curses. They're things, if there's alcoholism in someone's life and they struggle with it, you look back and you'll see in past generations that there's alcoholism.
Absolutely.
You know, if there's lust issues, if there's adultery issues, all of those things, you look back and you'll see that they're somewhere back in the genealogy. And you can believe it or not, but as soon as that sin is confessed, as soon as that legal ground is removed from that person, they will have the victory. But they cannot have the victory as long as that legal ground exists. They can even, I mean, Satan is the great accuser. He'll go right to Jesus and say, look, they've established that this is what they want in this bloodline, in this family, in this generation. And that'll continue on and on until that sin is confessed and removed.
Yes,
and that's one of the most important things that I've learned lately is these people who struggle with these things, you can try the drugs, you can try the gums, you can try all of these things, and Pastor Peters would tell you the same thing. It's spiritual
warfare.
Any of these things that we struggle with, that we battle, the enemy has a hand in it. But God, Luke 10:19, he's given us the authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. So if there's things that are harming you, if there's things that you're struggling and you're battling with, you can't seem to win, no matter how hard you try, how about try it God's ways? Confess the sin. Father, forgive me for the sins of my fathers. Remove this generational curse from my family.
Yeah.
I plead the blood of Jesus over me. You know, all of these things, they're all biblical. And you can, you know, take it or leave it. Bottom line is, but this is biblical, and this is deliverance, and this is what is meant for our people.
Yeah, it's part of that Ephesians 6 spiritual warfare. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness in heavenly places. It really is as complex as it is. It really is as simple as that. It really is.
Well, and the Bible talks about us being a rebellious people. I mean, that's a genetic curse, right? A genetic, it goes back to, so if you want to break that.
Yeah.
So if you want to break that, then you have to break that line of rebellion. And that's really what all of these things we've talked about, basically, that rebellion goes all the way back through there.
Yeah.
So
it does.
Yeah.
It does.
Somebody has to break the curse.
Yes.
Exactly. And if you won't do it for yourself, do it for your children and their children.
Yes.
Amen. Because
yes,
somebody has to break the curse.
Amen. That's
the only way to break the curse is to confess it.
Yes.
And ask for forgiveness. Because it removes the legal grounds.
Yes. And that's that inheritance that you can leave your children's children. It doesn't have to be a huge monetary or highly valuable to the world type of thing. But that inheritance can be breaking the curse, confessing the sin, and breaking that. That's what those men in that prayer group are realizing. And that was encouraging to me, that they see the need to do that. They see the need to do that. And it's a, that's a good thing.
To steal, kill, and destroy.
He does.
But Jesus said, I come to bring life, not just any life, life abundantly.
Yes.
If you don't have that life abundantly, it's because the evil one's stolen it. Just like you said, probably the greatest thing you can leave them. You can leave them a mansion, you can leave them whatever, millions of dollars. But if you left them a clean slate,
yes,
where they had no more generational curses, where they could operate in the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no greater inheritance that you can leave to your family.
Amen.
That's the bottom
line.
Amen.
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 Well, guys, we're about out of time. Want to make sure we get the church invitation out to you. Join us at church tomorrow. We're starting a little early, 8:30 a.m. with a review of the news. Or I think tomorrow we're going to have a Scriptures from America, one of Pastor's early teachings that he did here around the Radio Ranch and out in God's creation. But that's at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 on the East Coast. And we'll follow that with a timeless pulpit truth message. And then at 10 o'clock, we'll have a live message from John. I think you've got part two of last week's coming up. And looking forward to that. And that'll be at 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Central, and noon on the East Coast. And then we'll have a later service of our pastor's message. Excuse me. So you can join us, scripturesforamerica.org. Video, audio, we encourage you to do it. We'll have some good music for you, some fellowship. We'll partake of communion, which we are to do. And it'll be a great way to start your week. It is. We encourage you to take the time to do it. Well, Tim, thank you so much, brother, for getting up and joining us this morning.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Guys, have
a blessed day, man.
Yeah, have a blessed day. And we'll go out with this song. Pastor always liked this, and we do too. All right. See you at church tomorrow, guys.
Rolling. Stay country stolen, keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and free together, make them hell and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at